we should accept everyone because grace accepts everyone. Being nice enough to everyone will lead people to the place of repentance.
Hey, welcome to the Vertical Church Ovilla podcast, where our goal is to encourage and motivate you to live out biblical faith in the real areas of your life. So I'm glad you're here for this. It's going to be good.
All right, I'm glad you're here today. We're going to talk about a very controversial topic today, and a very necessary one. We're calling this today, The Dangerous Gospel of Nice. So we're going to get there today, but allow me a little bit of time to set up where we're headed today. So I'm going to go back to my junior high years. I'm at Stockard Junior High in Oak Cliff. And you take shop courses throughout the year. So I took drafting, that was a shop, wood shop, made a magazine rack for my parents.
Nice.
That's
awesome.
All these massive pieces of equipment in there. And then metal shop, my least favorite. Yeah, teacher wasn't great. But in metal shop, they said, okay, we're gonna melt some aluminum and you can pour it into a shape and keep it for yourself. I made a cross, which was unusual because there was no real faith background in our life at the time, but I did. But the process, of course, there's this very, very hot fire that you heat up. And then there's this large, like a large ladle, and you put the silver or the aluminum in it, and it would melt. And then he taught us, he said, okay, after a little bit of time, you're going to notice impurities rise up out of the aluminum. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, it melts. And then these, like, impurities that were part of it that were not really the aluminum, they were other things that were in it, were there. And so we could remove some of those or allow the fire to burn them up eventually. Wow. And the heat of the fire would eventually remove all the impurities. And then you had the pure aluminum. Nice. And then you could pour it into whatever cast or form you had. So we know that the Bible talks about heat being used as a purifier. Mm-hmm. And we read passages from 1 Peter that talk about how this is what happens in us, that God will allow fire, trials in our life, persecution, troubles to come our way to purify us in order to allow what is not really part of who we are in Christ to rise to the top so it can be removed, burned off, skimmed off. So 1 Peter, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God will allow trials in our life to help purify what is in us and help us to see who we are in Christ and have those other things removed from us. So I think what's happening in the culture today, especially in light of the Charlie Kirk death, is that we are watching tension rise within the Christian community.
Yep.
This is an interesting phenomenon. And we're going to keep the conversation just to the Christian community, really, for the sake of our conversation today. So what has happened is we could look at this, the death of Charlie Kirk, as going through a time of suffering.
Yeah.
The heat is being turned up, and it is revealing some things. Some people have said, oh, this is causing such great strife in our land. No, it's actually just revealing what was already in the hearts of people, and it's causing it to be risen to the top. Mm-hmm. And I would say the same is happening in the church, because even within the church, while there appears to be a large percentage of people who are all of a sudden like, wait a minute, I'm finding my footing all of a sudden in my faith. I can speak out and I want to speak out. You're finding people who have been away from the church for a long time, all of a sudden return to church, and they're wanting to seek the Lord and be involved and be engaged and learn about their faith. You're seeing people come to Christ, and I want to follow this Jesus, and I want to stand in this kind of confidence. But we're also seeing a group of Christians who are watching not just his death, but they're watching things like the message changing in the culture.
Yeah.
So, definitely. I mean, if you watch the memorial service, you all of a sudden saw governmental leaders, political leaders, speaking out very boldly.
Yeah, not just giving a little hat tip to God or a divine mandate, divine being, but very explicit, this is the gospel.
Yes.
And we ought to repent and believe
so we can be saved. Yes, hearing governmental leaders saying these things.
And not... Again, just some like, oh, here's this dude who kind of works in the back halls of right. one small local Texas government facility talking yep. about Jesus.
Right.
But here's the Secretary of State and the Secretary of War laying out the gospel for millions, tens of millions of people
yeah.
to hear.
I mean, there's been estimated now 100 million streams.
That's just insane.
So, yes. So, there's a group of Christians who are watching all of that. They're watching a shift change in our land where all of a sudden now there's this move away from having open borders. Let's have strong yeah. borders. Let's deport those who are illegal aliens. Less support for transgender ideology. Yeah. Less support for LGBTQ plus mm-hmm. public mood changing to support for the church, support yeah. for Jesus, yeah. cleaning up the streets where the homeless and the addicted have taken up residence, mm-hmm. changing the downtown area of countless cities into just slums.
Yeah.
And all of that is starting to change. A call for people mm-hmm. to go to work and earn a living and not just depend upon the government to give yeah. you money. Less race hating yeah. happening. Churches taking a stand against unrighteousness, against sin. All of that's changing and happening in the land. And there's a group of Christians who are actually angered by all of this.
Yeah.
Instead of celebrating it, they're actually angry at that. Yeah. I think, what?
Yeah.
What is
yeah.
happening here? So I guess I would view that as this is the heat being turned up in the land. And the church is being refined, and the impurities are rising to the top.
Yeah.
Things that were once and are still in the hearts of many Christians. And I would suggest today that what that impurity is a version of the gospel that we will call today the gospel of nice. Now, we've talked about this yeah. a lot. If you were going to give a definition, how would you describe the gospel of nice?
Yeah. Well, one of the ways I've kind of heard it described by Vadi Bakum is he says, like, everyone knows what the Ten Commandments are.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of like, oh yeah, I've been raised on that. That's what our culture is shaped all around. And then he jokes about everyone knows the real 11th commandment though, and it's thou shalt be nice.
Ooh, you yeah. know,
that's
yeah.
that's really the one that supersedes all the others.
Yes.
That's the one that people are terrified to violate. That's
yes.
the one that you will be pointed out if you do violate
that's
it.
That's true.
Hey, you're not being nice to this person.
Yes.
So therefore, judgment on you. And therefore, yes. cancel on you because you're not being nice. So
yeah.
I get that we're trying to call it the gospel of nice, but it really is no gospel
it's
at
no
all.
It's no gospel. Exactly.
It's not good news.
Correct.
The idea of niceness. The only good mm-hmm. it would be is for the person on the other end of it.
Yep.
You know, the person who is receiving the niceness, even though that's,
yep.
it's not really, that's not even good. You know,
yeah.
it's more, I would almost say the law of niceness, you
yep.
know, the
yep.
imposed you ought to, or else there's consequence, judgment, condemnation toward you.
Yep.
If you violate not laying down, and again, because it all sounds very Christian,
right.
Christian,
mm-hmm.
not laying down all your preferences, not laying down all your ideas, your hopes, your dreams mm-hmm. for the sake of someone else.
Yeah.
And not doing that, you are violating the law of being nice.
Yeah. And you're right. It's almost as though in that, if you're going to consider that a brand of Christianity, which it's not, but let's just,
yeah.
for the sake of discussion, if you call that a brand, in that brand, all the other commandments you can actually violate.
Mm. Yeah,
but that one, mm-hmm. you better not, or that'll get you crucified.
Yeah.
That'll get you killed.
Yeah,
and you can talk about all the others a little bit, but you better keep in mind that 11th one.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
That's the primary.
And it'll actually stop you from talking about those others because you yeah. can't talk about those and violate that 11th commandment.
Yeah, and the thing that is the worst about the law of niceness is you. There's no, okay, I am nice enough now.
Mm-hmm.
I am fulfilling my role of being nice because there's always someone that's going to be offended because you weren't nice enough to them.
Right.
Which then you're just more guilt on your own self.
Yeah.
And you're constantly, oh, did I do this for this person? Did I say this for this person? And what if I didn't? And
yep.
how come I, you know?
Yep.
You're going to be a slave to everyone rather than free.
That's correct.
To have confidence.
That's true. I feel bad because I feel like I promoted this for several years.
Hmm.
had a message of what I believed was the message of grace, and I was attempting to communicate it in such a way that here's the favor of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. But I communicated it in such a way that at times I believe it sounded more like we should accept everyone because grace accepts everyone. And I think what it produced in many of the people in that era that I worked with or ministered to was a shift in the way they saw the gospel and the church. And man, it breaks my heart because it was not the full message of the gospel, and it's not accurate that somehow just being nice enough to everyone will lead people to the place of repentance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want us to think about, again, recognizing that there is no such thing as the gospel of nice, but if we were to consider it a gospel, a message, if you will, what does that message sound like, and how do we make sure that we allow the impurities of this fiery time to be removed from us so that we really have the true heart of the gospel in our mouth and in our heart and in our churches? That should be the case.
Yeah, definitely. I think the first thing, and you know, we may get to some of this here as well, but I think the first thing that the law of nice, the commandment of being nice to everyone does is it forces, it puts people pleasers in positions of power. How about all that for a piece?
Interesting, yeah.
But it the people pleasers who are the nicest would then have the greatest virtue of niceness. And so then you'd put them in charge of churches, organizations, people, families. Be nice to everyone.
Wow.
And
so their conscience leads, basically.
Yeah, and it influences the others. And then there is an easy condemnation towards those who aren't being nice because the standard, the leader, the top that influences the rest is thou shalt be nice, which is going to lead to cowardice. It's going to lead to...
It's going to make you change everything that you say, everything that you do, everything a church stands for.
And in fact, not say a lot.
You can't.
But then at the same time, say a lot of contradicting things to people.
Yes, correct.
Because you're trying to be nice to everyone rather than, I'm literally just standing on this truth. If it offends you, too bad.
Right.
If you want to get on board, that's great.
Right.
And you can have every single question about it, but at the end of the day, it's still the truth. Whereas the gospel of nice is, I need to run over here and meet these people's needs. Oh, now I need to go over here and meet these people's needs. Oh, but I stopped meeting these people's needs, so I have to go back over here. And now I got to chase this down, and it'll exhaust you.
Exhausting, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
And depress you.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking about this, the gospel of nice, is it would be, the essence of it is, if you're nice enough, long enough, everyone will turn from their sin and come to Jesus.
That sounds, ready for this? Really nice. It sounds very nice.
It's true.
And merciful and loving. And hey, if we can all just get together and unify.
Right.
And just, it really sounds very much like the message of coexist.
Right.
And
it's true.
Hey, let's just all come together.
Yep.
And hopefully in our coming together, someone will be felt, will feel love, and will then change.
Yeah. So here's the verse of scripture that people use on the gospel of nice side is, but it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance.
Yeah. That's, again, that's out of Romans 2.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Which is very famously said, like that Romans 2 and that verse is only understood, can only and should only be understood in the context of Romans 1, where it talks about the judgment of God for sins.
Yes.
And
it's the declaration that those are sins that brings a person to a place of repentance or brokenness, in which then the kindness of God or the goodness of God is demonstrated toward us.
Exactly.
And that's what leads me to change.
Yeah.
I think people would bear this out today because you have a culture of the world today who's demanding that we affirm them and be nice to them and celebrate their sin, And then never has it happened where you go and affirm them and celebrate their sin and be nice to them or kind to them that they ever say, wow, you have been so accepting of me that I think I'm going to leave my sin.
Yeah, exactly. Never.
That doesn't happen.
It does not happen.
That's not how you can't nice or you can't kind someone. No.
Out of strongholds.
Out of their strongholds. It's only by a confrontation with a line, with a set of consequences and judgment hanging over them that they repent and then find joy in the goodness that rescues them from that judgment.
But what if they turn away and stop listening to you whenever you bring that harsh judgment? And what if you lose that relationship?
Then that is on them at that point to even face further fire from God and consequences of their own choices away from him. Because until they break, they will not repent. Yeah.
But what if it leads to them going out and doing worse things and hurting other people or hurting themselves, and it's because you laid down the law and you did not accept them where they were?
It wouldn't be because I laid down the law. It'd be because they chose to go against the ways of God. That's not on me at that point. Yeah. It would be on them. I recognize all of the emotional components of all of that. Mm-hmm. But a church proclaiming the gospel in its clarity and a call to repentance, and it causes someone in the community to run even further rebellion away, that's not on the church for that responsibility. Yeah. It is on them and their own choice to rebel against God.
Yeah.
But it's a fundamental... it's a fundamental element of the doctrine of gospel of nice, mm-hmm. that if we're nice long enough and well enough, that people will turn from their sin.
Yeah,
I think another piece that goes with this is that really it's the church's primary responsibility to do just that. This is our highest calling, many would say, kind of like you said with the 11th commandment, is be nice, affirm everyone, accept everyone, as well as whatever they're doing, the lifestyle, mm-hmm. and beliefs and lifestyle choices that they have. But that you're right, that takes us back to the coexist model.
Yeah.
If we can just hug it out, all sit down together, we're all on the same page, or as some people even say, we're all God's children. No, that's not true.
That's not biblical.
That's not biblical at all.
Yeah.
If that was the case, then the life and the death and the sufferings of Jesus were the greatest waste of time
ever
in eternity.
Yeah. You are only God's child by the blood of Christ. Everyone is created in the image of God, yes. Mm-hmm. Everyone's life has value, holds equal value before God, yes, because you're created in his image. But just because you're created in his image does not make you a child of God.
No, you are outside the family until you repent and believe in Jesus Christ and his death for you and resurrection for you. Another element I guess you put in the doctrine of Gospel of Nice is never cause anyone to be offended or made to feel like they failed.
Yeah. That is very nice.
Yeah.
Again, that does not change lives.
Yeah. It's nice in some dystopian, weird element of fairy tale land.
Yep. Yep.
It's not reality.
Yeah.
The gospel is offensive. It has to be, and it will cause people to break and come to the end of themselves. That's the only way you can receive grace by faith is when you come to the end of thinking you can do it by your works.
Yeah.
There has to be repentance. There has to be offense.
Yeah. It's like this right here is like the classic, like everyone gets a participation award all the time. You know? It's like the baseball team for third graders, mm-hmm. like, they all play, one kid shows out, and the others like are terrible, and they win the game. And it's like, congratulations, everyone's a participant, and everyone just is okay.
Right.
And now you literally demoralize the one who works hard and, mm-hmm. you know, like goes actually above mm-hmm. and beyond, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do, I'm gonna work hard at this. And then you're elevating the one who's like, I don't give a rip about any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And in trying to be nice to everyone, you neuter everyone.
Yes.
And you... again, demoralize those who are seeking the good, and you elevate mm-hmm. those who are apathetic to everything.
Yep.
And
yep.
as much reality as that is on a baseball team, that's real in the Christian life as well.
Right.
To say, hey, you who is continually putting their old flesh to death, you're dying to self, you're walking in obedience. You are mm-hmm. repenting, confessing, you're growing, you're mm-hmm. opening your heart out. You are the exact same as the absolute bum, drug addict, no faithfulness to anything in his life,
right.
untrustworthy.
Right.
There is a difference between the two of them. Like the, mm-hmm. The gospel is for both of them.
Yes.
But we are not to just all say, oh, everyone's just the exact same, and let's right. just all unify and be yeah. sweet together.
And I affirm you in your adultery, and I affirm yeah. you in your murdering,
yeah.
and I affirm you in your yeah. transgender lifestyle. Yeah. What?
That's
what
not
are we doing?
The gospel. That's right. not, you're not upholding truth. You're not upholding anything at that yeah. point.
So also in the gospel of Nice, or in the church of Nice, if there yeah, was one,
there
which
go.
There are.
That's good.
There, the most despised enemy is the person who would cause an offense.
Yeah.
If you cause people to feel triggered, offended, less than, you are the vilest offender
yeah.
in that church, yeah. the gospel of Nice. And what they begin to do then is take all of the traditional values, all the biblical teachings of the church that we've known for since its inception,
yeah.
and they begin to redefine all of those. They have to, because you cannot put the gospel of Nice into the gospel that we've known through history.
Yeah.
And you end up having to ignore some pretty hard sayings of Jesus.
Yeah.
You have to toss out times when Jesus had some very hard things to say to the Pharisees, when he insulted them publicly. The gospel of Nice just slides right over those. We can't look yeah. at those, where he called the Pharisees snakes, or he called them and said they were sons of their father, the devil. Those are offensive things.
Yeah.
And so you have to toss all of that out. You have to toss out all of the Old Testament stories where God disciplines his people for commingling yep. with the gods of the day, for yep. practicing the sins of the day and still practicing faith in him at the same time. He was violently angered by that yeah. and brought judgment upon them yeah. and allowed other nations to swoop in and attack them and yeah. enslave them, because he wanted to root that out of yeah. their lives. And
refine the culture.
In the gospel of Nice, you have to just remove all of that. You have to mm-hmm. dismiss all of that. The gospel of Nice, you have to overlook New Testament letters that call and challenge leaders in the churches to point out sin. Passages like in Corinthians where he says, this person that's unrepentant, you should turn them over. You should all gather together as a church and turn them over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit will be saved.
Yeah,
he's talking about a believer, but he's talking about the church gathering and intentionally turning that person over to the hand of Satan to be able to have freedom in their life to bring about destruction to the point that they'll break.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ignore all of that if you're going to practice the gospel yeah. of Nice. And that's tough.
Yeah.
Because it, again, what's being revealed by the fiery we're going through today is this gospel of Nice in a lot of believers.
Yeah.
And so I think another component of this is that you end up measuring then success for yourself personally or for a church in the amount of diversity that you have within it. And I don't yeah. mean just racially or age, but in terms of sins.
Yeah.
Again,
we accept these people. We yes. tolerate this. We welcome this, in
yes.
fact.
We'll put the flags out front that tell yeah. you who all the sins are that we welcome here in this mm-hmm. place. Mm-hmm. Not just the sins, but the lifestyles, the choices, the adamant determination to continue in these sins. And so that's what the gospel of Nice does, is it measures it by the amount of diversity they have. They also talk about acceptance instead of repentance. Those are two very different things. We'll just accept you
yeah.
rather than call you to repentance, because any kind of call to repentance could be potentially offensive, could yeah. trigger someone.
Yeah, because you're telling them, die to yourself.
Yes.
The gospel of Nice
yep.
is, hey, you and yourself, like, that's who you are meant to be, mm-hmm. and you are so great.
You're born this way.
Yeah, exactly, because that's the nice thing to say. That's yes. the way to get someone to like you.
Yes. Yeah, we'd rather be a church of inclusion than a church of transformation. That's really what the gospel of Nice
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
Rather than call people to transformation, call mm-hmm. people to repentance, healing, restoration, to the God-given design, God-given redemption that they have in Jesus Christ, they'd much rather just be inclusive and have yeah. everyone inside.
Yeah, It's very true.
The other thing this does, it focuses, the gospel of nice focuses on soothing people rather than saving people from their sin.
Wowza.
I'd rather just soothe you with some nice words. Yeah.
Which you're literally going to create just unbearable adult infants that in the faith, if they are any bit Christian, you know,
right.
Or just people who are absolutely victimized, they have the victim mentality.
Yep.
And
traumatized, everything victimized
is meant to be for them.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Yep.
And instead of the die to self.
Yep.
Live for others. Glorify God. Mm-hmm. It would be live for self.
Mm.
Glorify myself. Have everyone affirm me.
Yes.
You know, that's the gospel. Ooh, nice.
It is true. Yeah, in that version, there's more of a calling for the church to be a cushion than to be the place where the cross is presented. Kind of like you're saying, there's not this sense of, you know, Jesus said, if you want to come after me, let him deny yourself, take up your cross, and now follow me. But instead, the gospel of nice just calls people to a soft, cushiony place. I think the other thing you find in the gospel of nice, the church of nice, is that there can never be true discipline of anyone.
Mm-hmm.
There can be subtle correction, maybe, but never discipline. And that's a subtle difference. Correction can be words without actions of consequences that follow.
Hmm.
But discipline has with it a set of consequences that follow.
Yeah.
And that's necessary for the church to practice discipline. It's necessary even in family groups.
Yeah, exactly.
To practice that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other discussion, you know,
about
the gospel of nice. This isn't just a church issue. This finds its way down into the realities of relationships.
Yeah. That's the thing that I just get from all that, the idea of the church of nice is like you are not being faithful to what God has always been about, but you are... It elevates the, I want to have people around me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, hopefully it's done with the intention of I want to care for people.
Right.
I think it's sad that that's misconstrued, that desire. Mm-hmm. Man, I want to care for people. It's like, well, then just be very nice to them and bring them around. But if you want to care for people, you would call for change. You would call for obedience. You would call for a lifestyle change rather than just a circumstantial.
Yep.
Oh, here, I'll give you a nice landing spot rather than here is actually truth, how to live differently.
I get it. I get the idea of the end goal of I want everyone to get along. I want there to be peace. I want there to be, you know, happiness in the setting.
Yeah.
But this approach to the gospel of nice is really just a cheap, deceptive alternative that for about the first... maybe day.
Yeah.
It looks like
this is something. Yeah.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
But it can't last because the people in it are still filled with themselves and their trauma and their pain and their victim mentality, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
And it leads to even greater troubles later in division and conflict that never gets resolved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
So I believe the Bible talks about a day and a time like this. Just a couple of passages. 2 Timothy 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables."
Wow.
That there's coming a time in which we appear to be living in which the truth is too hard. The truth is too difficult. The truth is too offensive. And I'd much rather use a softer bedtime story, fable, than the truth that has the power to actually transform a life. And people will start looking for teachers like that, and they'll be there. And Paul was warning Timothy, you have to avoid this. You have to be strong as a good soldier of the Lord and declare the truth. Now, we have verses like Isaiah 5:20 where it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil."
Yeah.
Then you have this really strong warning from Galatians 1, verse 9, where Paul writes and says, "As we've said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Yeah.
That doesn't sound very nice from Paul.
Not being nice, sir.
Straight up, that is real. That is truth first. If anyone's bringing a different message, not just, hey, don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Hey, well, that's sad, you know.
And he's talking about other churches.
Yeah, exactly.
If there are any other churches where there is a preacher and they are preaching what they are calling the gospel, and it is not the same gospel that you've had handed down to you, I mean, he pronounces a pretty strong word against it. Let him be a curse. Let him be cast out into the darkness. Mm-hmm. Let him be not revered, not admired, but called out.
Yeah. Whew. That's heavy.
It is heavy. And it stands. This is the gospel of grace and truth. That's, you won't find that in the gospel of nice.
Yeah.
So as those who believe in the gospel, we are certainly not saying that this means there should be a gospel of meanness.
Yeah.
That's not the opposite here.
That's
not what we're advocating.
No.
Is a gospel of heavy judgment and condemnation and shame on people.
No.
No. But a gospel in which there is grace and truth.
Exactly.
There's a call to repentance, and there's the goodness of God given at the same time. And this is when Paul writes to the young leaders, again, Timothy and Titus, that we're supposed to be those who are wise stewards of the gospel. We're not to be those who are given over to addictive things, money or wine. We're not to be violent. We're not to be greedy for money. We're not to be self-willed. In Titus 1:7-9, it talks about we're to be hospitable, lovers of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast to the faithful word we have been taught, so that we may be able, with sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict.
So good. And that's the both, to exhort, to encourage, and to convict with absolute truth.
Yes.
Not tolerant of sin. And not condemning, not putting down, I should say, is the opposite of exhorting, but that we should be encouraging.
Yep.
But you can't just be encouraging without truth.
Right.
You know?
I think that was the brilliance of the Charlie Kirk, watching him on so many college campuses. Yeah. He was able to do all of that.
Yeah.
He didn't compromise, didn't yield, didn't give in. He listened. Someone was telling me just yesterday, did you notice that every time Charlie Kirk speaks, he holds the microphone, and when the other person's speaking, he puts the microphone down?
Yeah.
I was watching, I thought, that's interesting why he does that.
Yeah.
And this person was saying, it's because he was communicating to them, I'm listening.
Yeah, this is yours.
This is your moment.
I'm not trying to just be speaking.
Yeah, I could level you with my words, but I'm not going to.
Yeah,
you know?
So good.
So he used that to listen, but he spoke. And not every time did someone walk away saying, oh, I totally agree with you. I see your way now.
Yeah.
That didn't always happen.
And they didn't always say, that guy is just so nice. Because that's not what needs to be communicated to aggressive, angry, not listening, stubborn, hard-hearted people.
Yeah. And he was able to, with self-control, as Paul told Titus, to do this. And sometimes it made them look like absolute fools.
Yep.
But truth did that. And they revealed it in themselves, actually. They did it to themselves because they were not able to articulate an argument, you know, that had any weight in the conversation.
Yep.
So, man, what a day to see so much happening. What a day when the fire is being turned up and the church is being refined and finding its footing. And things like the gospel of nice are being revealed and removed from the practice of the church
so
that we can be a church that has the pure essence of the gospel and hearts that are purified and our words that are purified so we might accurately communicate the truth of Jesus to a dying world. So, hey, thanks for joining us today. Come join us here at Vertical. We keep lifting him up and living him out.